Blog Talk Radio.
I want to challenge the way we parent.
It's easy. It's easy to go to Ephesians 6 and look at your kids and tell them, look, the Bible says, honor your mother and father. That's the one commandment with a promise, so that your days may be long. That's the easy thing to say. And I know as a parent, it's come out of my mouth on plenty of occasions, me telling my children, you know, the Bible says you're supposed to honor me, so when I put something out there, you need to do it. But I don't know what it is, but why do we stop there? I want to go to Ephesians real quick and just read those first couple of verses, because today we're not going to talk about everything your children are supposed to be doing. We're going to be talking about the things that we as parents are supposed to be doing. Now, by all means, I'm going to put this out there first. I'm not trying to judge every situation. I'm not saying that I have the end-all answer to every situation. And I know that there may be other circumstances out there. You know, so if I don't touch on something that you're dealing with, or you feel like there's a different angle that your situation needs to be dealt with, by all means, we open up the line for questions and comments. You know, send it in. I've encouraged people to email me at augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. You may not want to be heard on the radio, even though nobody knows who you are. I don't know. The spelling of my name again is augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. So anyway, let's move forward. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may livest long on earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, fathers and mothers, provoke not your children to wrath. Okay, for the most part, everybody knows, but let's just talk about that concept, provoking. When you provoke someone, it is a word that has a negative meaning behind it. Even though people, you don't usually hear somebody to say, I was provoked to go and donate to the Salvation Army. That's not when we use that word. When we hear the word provoked, you think about somebody pissing you off, making you want to do something that you really didn't want to do, but now I got to punch you in the face. So here it is. The Bible is saying, provoke not your children to wrath, and wrath is just another word for anger. So, you know, what does that look like, and what does that mean? So what I'm going to challenge everybody to do today is to go back and look at your own childhood. So it's always easy, like I said, for the parents to say, honor your mother and father, because that's what the word says. But the word also says not to provoke your children to wrath. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I know as a kid, I can name a whole bunch of people, and I need more than one hand that were adults that I was always angry with, not just because I was an angry person, not just because I was pissed off. I mean, I had real reasons to be angry, y'all. Now, let me put this disclaimer out there. Yes, when you were in Christ Jesus, you forgive and all that, but no, we're talking about young people. I was a young person who wasn't grounded and rooted in the Word. And if the Bible says don't provoke your children to wrath, then that means that there's some level of accountability that extended past me being a child. I had a relative who was in church who I knew slept around on a wife. That made me not want to go. They served in the church. I looked at people that was going to church, that was going to the club, drinking, getting drunk. Oh, I thought Christianity was one of the fakest things ever. And I stayed mad because, you know, I used to get upset when I was told, you can't do X, Y, and Z, but then the parents were doing it. You know the old school saying, do as I say, not as I do. That ain't biblical by a long shot. So I was always upset. So I know at some point, y'all might be out there the same way, too. Be like, man, my mama tripping. She just said, don't do X, Y, and Z, but she do it. My grandmama, she telling me this, you know, I know this one older woman who I still love with all my heart to this day. She was saved. I know she prayed. She anointed people with oil. I would even, you know, let her pray for me, you know, sometimes. Well, she was an angry, bitter woman. And since I had a judgmental attitude and I wasn't grounded in the Word, when I was young and I read the Scriptures, I was sitting there looking like, okay, You know, you got Jesus, but you know what I'm saying? You bitter. And you ain't supposed to be bitter because the word says that that's the work of the flesh. So where's the spirit ain't you in you. So that's just how my mind was when I was a child. And you know what? That's what our children are doing today. Because teenagers are going to church. See, everybody like, I don't understand how the youth could be in the church and the spirit could be moving like that and they don't feel it. And they on their iPads and they texting and they talking to each other and they falling asleep. And the adults will comment about their lack of involvement, but they're not even paying attention because a lot of us don't understand it, but our kids don't even believe that it's real. Think about it. You up there, you hooping and hollering, and you jumping and screaming, and you falling on the floor, and the song got tears in your eyes. And then when you go back home with your kids, the first time they do something wrong, you're going to be like, sit your way down. And if you don't do that, you're going to be like, hey, you just get on my nerves. Get on my face. Why can't you do this? The anger comes out. When you're at church, it's glory, hallelujah, and I love you, Jesus. When you're at home, it's what you get on my face. And it doesn't matter if those aren't the words that you use. You don't even have a bond with your kids. And your kids, they're not stupid. They're looking and they're saying, okay, so if the love of Jesus thrives so strong in you, why is you all up in church, glory, hallelujah, but then when you come home, you don't want to say nothing to me, and mama, I need you. Or better yet, you glory, hallelujah, hugging everybody, and then you coming back home from church, and you're talking about people. Oh, did you see what Sister So-and-so did? And she brought that man to church. They've been dating for 8 years. They still ain't married yet. And blah, 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 blah. And you do your gossiping and you're talking. And your kids be like, I thought if you were saved, you ain't supposed to be gossiping, et cetera, et cetera. So young people analyze us. And they analyze us, and unfortunately, they draw their conclusions on what Christianity is, not by what we say, but by what we do, and not the parts that we want them to see that we do that are great, but by everything that we do in a whole picture. So today what I want to challenge is how do you circumvent that? What are some of the things that you do? And it doesn't matter if you're the parent, an aunt, a grandparent, an uncle, or whoever it is, some of the things that I'm going to talk about, these are things that you can still, you know, utilize and pass on to other people as far as techniques. So I'm not saying I got all the answers, and I'm very transparent. I'll even give some of my examples of my own life and what I've had to deal with because I got a vast gamut, 9 months, 8 years, 18 years, I'm operating in every facet of it. So anyway, there's a key scripture that stands out to me that gives the answer to how you parent. On a surface level, but we're going to take that thing and break it down and make it deep. We're going to go into Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm going to go ahead and put this out here. I am going to say that a lot of the problems that we deal with our young people in the church is because parents aren't involved enough. Okay? I'm saying that today's message is for you to step up your game with how you parent your kids and doing more of and more often. I'm putting that out there right now. And I'm going to say right now that the word is going to back me up off the rift. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. It says, therefore, shall ye lay up these, my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gate, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give to them as the days of the heaven upon the earth. Did you hear the promise repeated? So for those that kind of just joined in, we were talking about how the scriptures used to be thrown, I know it's me, maybe not child, but the scriptures used to be thrown at us, honor your mother and father. You know, that's the only scripture with a promise. That's what it says in Ephesians. So because it says, honor your mother and father that your days may be long on earth. Okay, but see, right now, God is not talking to the children. He's talking to the parents. And if you look at verse 18, he says, you lay those words up in your heart. so that your days may be multiplied. But the prerequisite with that is not only do you lay them in your heart, but you give them to your kids. So the promise, it keeps on matriculating down from generation to generation to generation to generation. So here's the thing. The first person that has to get the word is you. So if you ain't got no joy, you can't be talking about, I don't know why every time I turn around, the school is calling me because you got an attitude and you didn't fault somebody or went off on the teacher, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, if you always going to the school because your daughter got an attitude problem or your son always want to fight somebody, I would say, what is your attitude like? You'd be surprised how much your children are literally just like you. Because you come home from work and be like, Lord, if that person says something to me one more time, I can't stand working with such and so. Blah, 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 blah. Bam. They be in school. If such and such says something to me one more time, I'm a blank, blank, blank. And blah, 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 blah. It's the same pattern of behavior. So the thing about it is you have to look at what you're doing first and then transfer those things down to your kids. Now, when you look at the next verse, it's talking about how you're supposed to teach them when they're sitting, when they're walking, when they're lying down, when they're getting up. So that means that there's a lot of effort that's supposed to go into helping your kids. Now, at one point with my daughter, it seemed like she was having this phase. I'm not going to say she was boy crazy, but she did have, for lack of a better way to say it, her season of being gullible because she liked it when a boy liked her, and it seemed like, oh, my God, every single dude that liked her, it was like not just wanting to ask the dude, but it's like, baby, he is not the one. So I would be like, come on now, you know, you got to preserve your body. You don't want to be messing with him. I seen these text messages. You're not talking the right way. You're not acting the right way. You're supposed to be a young lady. You gave your life to Christ. What's going on with you? Okay, well, the short version of how you deal with that as a parent is you sit there and you go, look, you already know that you're supposed to be saving yourself for marriage, and I don't know why you're trying to be no fast-tail helper or talk to that little boy. You don't have no business doing nothing with him. You better treat your body right. You better honor your body, blah, 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 blah. Preach. Now, don't call and have little boy no more. Or you say something like, well, if you're talking to him, you better not get pregnant. You know, whatever it looks like. And everybody don't necessarily have to have a sister head nodding, head rolling, neck twitching, twerking. You can still be like, you know what, that's just a doggone shame. I cannot believe that you are so interested in this boy, and you're supposed to be a young lady preserving your body for Christ, bam, 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 just preaching that. You feel like you didn't say what you had to say. You drop the whammy down. They still talk to the boy, and you're like, I don't understand why they don't get it. But let me ask you a question. How many lessons has God tried to teach you, but you didn't get it? And for those of you that are secure in your walk and you get it now, what did it take for you to get there? Did God just say, here's the word, read the word, get it together, figure it out, and I'm done? No, he did not. He gave you the word. He gave you his son. He died on the cross. He ascended up to heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of God, interceding on your behalf. And then he gave you the Holy Spirit to walk with you. When you do what? When you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're lying down, and when you're rising up. Your Heavenly Father is with you all the time. And I'm here to challenge and say, as much as it is physically possible, you need to be with your kids like the Holy Spirit, directing them and guiding them as much as you can. And when you cannot physically be there, you spiritually be there, because the Word says that we are to pray without ceasing, fervently interceding on behalf of our children. So here's some things that I did with my daughter. Now, we need to be spiritual, of course. Everything is, you know, life is lived before God. God sees everything that we do. Okay, so, but that doesn't mean that every time that you minister to your kids about God, it has to be like you're throwing Jesus or God up in their face. There has to be a level of balance there. So, for instance, for those of you that know about the movie Taken, quick synopsis, if you've never seen it, this guy has a teenage daughter. She wants to go overseas. He didn't want her to go. She went. She ended up getting kidnapped and was getting ready to be put into the slave trafficking thing. And And later she's about to get auctioned off. He runs in, he saves the day, and he brings his daughter back home before she's raped and brutally used as a sex slave. Well, at the end of the movie, they had all you see all these women being auctioned off. And I don't remember all of the prices, but it was $100,000 for this and $80,000 for this and $200,000 for that. His daughter was the last person to be auctioned off. And when she was auctioned off, it was for $500,000. And when they announced it, they announced her as pure. So I took that when the movie was over, and I used it for a teachable moment. I was like, hey, KK, did you peep that? See, the world be wanting you to think that to be Christian is to be corny. Because, you know, dudes going to be on you, and they going to want your body, and they going to want to get with you and all this stuff, and they going to tell you why not try it. But after that dude tries you and uses you, he's going to drop you and call you a hoe. Now, if you think that sometimes Christians are too dramatic with what they're saying, the world knows it's the truth. Look at that. The girl, she was the only one they drugged her up to keep her out of her mind, but she never got touched. And the girls, when they got kidnapped, they got drugged up and they got raped over and over and over again so that they can get acclimated to believing that a penis was always supposed to be stuck up in their vagina, and that's the way it was supposed to be. But nobody ever touched her because she was pure. And the person that was willing to spend that much money wanted to be the first one to break it off and know that it was theirs. So I took... We have movie time, quality time, but then I was able to find a teachable moment in that. Okay, on the flip side of things, okay, you'd be like, okay, August, you're talking about I'm supposed to be with my kids, I'm supposed to be ministering to them, talking to them, doing all this stuff. I got enough stuff on my plate. I got to go to work. She got to go to school. We apart from each other more than we together. You can ask my daughter, but for years, days, out of the weeks, I was waking up if we had to get up at 5 and 5:30 in the morning. And if we might not be able to do that much, but I was reading the word with my baby, and I was sitting there from a non-judgmental standpoint going through the scriptures with her saying, wow, okay, so we read a passage, you know, about a conflict, and I'd be like, man, you know how you could relate this to when you go to school? And it says the battle's not yours, it's the Lord. You know, if that one group of girls says something about you, does something to you, if you try responding this way, do this, blah, 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 then God will take care of it. And she used to come home sometimes, not all the time, the testimony being like, man, mama, you ain't going to believe that. The exact same thing that we read today, it happened, and I was finna, did I remember what we read, and I didn't do it, and it ended up working out. Months later or weeks later, sometimes days later, hey, you know what's so funny? The one girl who used to always act like this, she don't even do that no more. Matter of fact, she came to me and hung with herself to ask me to help her with her homework, to help her study so she could do better in her classes. So, yeah, I lost sleep. Because if the only time that we could get it in was before she went to school, then he said when they rise up, if it wasn't nothing but 15, 30 minutes, we read something, got a nugget out of it. But you can't expect your kids just because they go to church, because they hear the word, and if you bought them a Bible, and if they read it consistently, to get it. Because guess what? You didn't get it. Come on now. How many grown people do we know that say, man, I'm trying to study the Bible, but I just don't understand it? I mean, come on now. Girl, I hear so many adults say that, it blows my mind. So why in the world do we think that because we drag our kids to church, and I literally mean dragging to church every Sunday, that they're supposed to get it? And unfortunately, half of you parents, you ain't even bought your kids no Bible, let alone read it with them. So time, effort. When I be going to watch some of my favorite TV shows, when I used to do a little bit of TV, I didn't get to. Soon as my daughter hits the door and I'm able to talk with her about school, it's like, hey, talk to me about school. Try to throw a spiritual perspective on her, maybe not. You know, depending on what's going on, call back, let her figure it out herself. Things were done in steps. And so there were things that I wanted to watch, places that I wanted to go, people that I wanted to see, but for the betterment of my child, I had to put them on hold. You look at some of your kids, for instance, and you sit there and you think, wow, they're impatient. They have a slow work ethic. Whatever it is that you're dealing with your child, the question is, okay, how does that relate to you? Because what I found is that the fruit of the Spirit happens to also be patience and long-suffering. I have found that in ministry, a lot of times we suffer long with people that don't even deserve our time. You know how it is. You see that one sister that every time you turn around, they praying with, crying with, everybody giving all that money to try to help her, and she's still making stupid decisions. But when it's your kids, then you get this you owe me mentality. I don't have time to deal with this. I already go to work. I pay the bills. I buy the groceries. I do this. I do that. I do that. If you don't respect me and you can't listen to me, bam, and it's like you just want to wash your hands of your kids, and then you want to chalk it up to prayer. But I challenge that. Because Sister So-and-so can call you at 2 o'clock in the morning and you'd be like, yeah, you know, the Lord be using me in ministry. Baby, charity's close at home. And if you ain't got the energy to do it at your house, then you don't need to have the energy to do it anywhere else. See, if you really want to grow as a man or a woman of God, all you got to do is have some kids. Because, baby, they will make you want to crack. The level of patience that you have in order to get them where they need to be, sometimes it's heart-wrenching. And the thing about it is we got to watch ourselves as parents, and we cannot always look at the basic things we're supposed to do as a way of saying to our kids, you better respect me and you should do that. Because the basic things that we're supposed to have, God don't do that to us. He'll sit there and say, you know what, and here's my example. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, none of that stuff. God take care of the birds, the lilies, all that stuff. Bam, I got you. Everything you need, I'm going to give those basic essentials that you need, I'm going to give them to you. That ain't no big deal. Matter of fact, he went above and beyond the call of duty, gave his son, and we didn't do nothing. He said, while we were yet sinners, that he did all of these things. So now, in order to look like the Father, to be Christ-like, you have to do the same thing. Providing your kids with something to eat, something to drink, something to wear, and all that stuff. So what? You're the one who decided to have a child. They don't owe you nothing for that. You might be, whoa, all your stuff, they owe you nothing for that. Your daddy ain't asking you for nothing for that. Because you and I both know, even when we was raggedy and ratchet out there in the world, he still held us down. We still had shelter. Somebody still had our back. You know, you could have lifted up your dog on stuff and got kicked out of your place, but somebody opened up their door so you did not have to sleep on the street. You still was able to have something to eat, the whole nine. So if God was willing to do all of that for you, how much more should you be willing to do that for your children when you're supposed to be looking like the very Father that you serve? So that, you know, I said quite a bit, but a direct active parenting means more than just chalking up whatever it is that you're dealing with your children to throw it up in prayer. See, when you go through a circumstance with somebody and it arouses a feeling in you, that doesn't tell you about the person. That tells you about yourself. Let me take it off the kids so maybe it's a little bit more relatable. When you are at your job and somebody pisses you off because they're lazy and they don't do their part of the job and it makes you mad and you be like, man, buff that, I'm not going to keep on doing all this extra work, and you pissed off and you want to get angry at them, is the Spirit revealing to you that they're lazy, or is the Spirit revealing to you that you have an anger problem and that you're about to let your anger provoke you to sin because you finna change the way you work because you don't think it's fair? You think I'm being overly analytical, go read all of Romans chapter 12. See, it says don't be conformed to this world, to be transformed to, you know, and to submit your body as a living sacrifice to God. Well, part of how you're transformed is because you don't respond to conflict the way people in the world do. When you read that scripture that's talking about transformation, one of the things it talks about is that people that do you wrong, that you're not supposed to seek revenge on them. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to be nice to them because it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. So if you got an angry person that you're dealing with at the job, at church, or whatever, and because of the way they act, and now you don't want to speak, or you see them on the side of the road, but you don't want to pick them up, or you know that the offering plate is going around and help them out, and even though you feel like you could help them in spite of what they did, but you don't because they didn't piss you off or whatever it is, whose mind are you thinking with? Their behavior has nothing to do with the behavior that you exhibit, because if that's what Jesus did, he would have said, man, bump this. I don't even have time for the cross. My own people are rejecting me. I'm performing miracles. I ain't getting no rest and no sleep. And this the way y'all going to act? I mean, it's, you know, it's not hard, but, you know, because God said his commandments are grievous, so don't take my comment the wrong way. It's hard to be a Christian. You don't get to think and operate and perform the same way that you did. There has to be a change in it. So the same thing happens with our children. If every time you turn around, you want to beat them, not you need to spank them because they've been out of order, because the Bible does say spirit of rod and spoil the child and foolishness is bent up in the child, but the rod will be moving, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying I'm against corporal punishment. I will spank my children if they need that. You know, I'm not saying that. But you know who you are if you're listening to this, and every time you're checking, you get like, yeah, and you automatically, your first impulse is to swing. Because I know for a fact that when I got saved for real and let the Holy Spirit indwell in me, there were times when I could have whooped my daughter just off the strength of what she did, but the Holy Spirit was like, no, talk to her. So by the time I got through talking to her, even though the decision that she made was foolish, God was like, mm-mm. See, this is a moment where you can use my word as medicine on that. And by me talking to her and loving on her, it did something completely different with her soul and her spirit. And then that behavior turned around a lot faster than me just, you know, putting fear in her heart from pain. So always have to look at yourself and say, okay, my kids are doing X, Y, Z. It's stimulating this feeling in me. So I got to go to the Father and what it says so that I can get these feelings out of me. So what are some things that you can do? Let me tell you something. Right now, my eight-month-old, she is in a house where she's always hearing gospel music. She'll hear the word at any given time. Now, I know my life is a little bit different, and there are some luxuries that I get that other people don't because I'm not working a traditional 9-to-5, and I'm at home. But since I homeschool my 8-year-old, baby, if it ain't, we don't do one thing, we do a Bible story. And we read the kids' version so that it's user-friendly. It's not, we don't just wait on Sunday to go to Sunday school. Every day we read something in the Word together and we discuss it. And we see what that looks like and what it means. And maybe later on in the day I may have to point out something that was in the story to say, see, remember that. You know, in the beginning when we first started doing it, it wasn't even necessarily always lessons. It was just interesting stories. Ooh, did you see that? God created the world and made animals. And, oh, Cain was Abel. We didn't necessarily get into all of the drama behind it. So you spend time reading and talking about the word with your kids. You put them in an atmosphere that's conducive for them to know Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop for a second because I got somebody coming with a question or comment. So let me pause for a moment. Hello there, caller. Hello? Okay, I have a caller on. I don't know if you pushed one on accident, but definitely want to pull you in. Okay, I don't know if we're experiencing some form of technical difficulty, so I'm going to come back to that caller. Bear with me and see if we can try this one again. So, but anyway, let me just go back to what it was that I was saying in reference to you realizing who you are and what issues you're having based on what's coming from your children. It's really just that simple. So if you don't read the word on a consistent basis, then how do you expect your kids to read it on a consistent basis? If you don't understand the word, how do you expect your kids to understand the word? Whatever it is that you have to do, whether you have to start a study group, get a help session, you know how you tell your kids that they need to go and get tutoring after school, you know someone like me or somebody else that can help you when you have issues. But the time has to be put into your children. I'm going to try this caller one more time. Hello, caller, can you hear me? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on. Bear with me. Well, if there's anybody else that potentially has a question or a comment, if you don't know, the way that you get through is by pushing one in order to be able to be chimed in so that you can have a question or a comment. So anyway, to kind of sum things up in a nutshell, the bottom line is time has to be put into your children. You can't just tell them the basic fundamentals. With my daughter, we read scriptures about prostitutes in the Bible to see what actually happened in the Old Testament with women that didn't do what they were supposed to do with their bodies that were turned over to lust. With young men who, one time she met a young man that she thought might have been a good catch for her just because he was, quote-unquote, saved. And we went into reading the story of Samson because I noticed that he dealt with a heavy spirit of lust. So I had to show her how a person could be a Christian, be called by God, and have a heavy anointing on their life, but constantly succumb to the flesh. And just story after story. The summertime, when she was out of school, I remember the first time we read the book of Luke together. Then we went through the book of Corinthians. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be a rhyme or reason. You don't have to pick up the Bible and say, okay, I got a problem with anger and my child has a problem with discipline, so that we're going to just read a bunch of scriptures that have to do with those issues. Thirst for the word. Taste and see that it's good. Enjoy the word of God. It can't always just be pulled out when you need to chasten and chastise your kids. You know, the Bible is not something that, and I think that's part of the problem, but for some reason, there's a correlation with punishment and the word of God. We don't have to always look at the Bible as the medicine or the tool to correct bad behavior. How about we be proactive and find out what the word says so that we don't do other things? How about we enjoy the scriptures just to encourage and motivate us? Because a lot of the scriptures just talk about how we ought to praise his name and love God and how we cherish and honor him for the things that he's done. You know, the Bible is not one-sided. It's not all hellfire and damnation. It's grace, mercy, love, peace. It's some of all of those things. So why not just read it and just find it out, figure it out? You know, you pick up novels and books, you know, I hate to even say the name of this book, 50 Shades of Grey. I used to hear so many people talking about that book, and it ain't nothing but old people porn, from my understanding. Just like you'll pick up any other book and read it. Trust me, I don't care what you have to do. If the King James Version is too hard for you, then fine. People may dispute over the different translations, but you get something. If you got a matter, I don't even suggest that you go down to the Message Bible. Like I said, buy a kid-friendly version. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm grown. I study the Word, and sometimes I do still reread scriptures in my daughter's Bible and say, yeah, I go and want to look and see what he says in the Greek and the Hebrew and do little stuff like that. But a lot of times it's just real basic. Studying the Word doesn't have to be difficult. There's not this big revelation that has to come down from God. You don't have to be like your pastor talking about you were sitting in a room for 3 hours and then a cloud came and surrounded you and you got an epiphany and you heard that. A lot of things with the Bible are very literal, and they're very easy. All you have to do is take the time to see where that relates to you. When you read a scripture and you say, okay, as a matter of fact, let me try to think of an example, like the one I said, that you're supposed to be nice to people that are mean to you because it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. That doesn't mean that you come in every morning and you like, good morning. Yeah, even though they don't want to speak to me, I spoke to them, because see, it's all about where your spirit is at when you do what you're doing. But what you have to do is say, okay, how do I be nice? Then you have to analyze yourself, okay, before this situation happened with this person, how was I responding to them? I did X, Y, and Z. Okay, well, even though they did this, I'm going to continue to do what I would have done even though they don't deserve it. Now you've taken a scripture and you've made it a part of your life. You've taken the word off the pages and you've put it inside of you and you've made it come alive. And that's what we want to happen with our kids. But like the scripture says, it's something that had to happen with us first. So I hope that I was very clear with the things that I said. I really did want more engagement and dialogue. but it isn't coming through. Caller, can you hear me? Okay. Well, I'm going to get ready to pretty much wrap it up from there. I apologize again. Not exactly sure what's happening. As a matter of fact, you know what? Can you all just bear with me for a second? I'm going to put you on a brief hold, and I'm going to see if I can't get this caller another way. All right, are you there, caller? All right, everybody. It was definitely an attempt. Not sure what's going on. So bottom line is take your time with your children. Go above and beyond what you do with them. I think that next week, God willing, we'll go a little deeper into this. So, caller, if you call back in next week, please preserve your question. Definitely would love to have it on the air so that other people can hear it and be involved with the content. So I just want to always thank you guys for chiming in and tuning in. I pray that what I've said made sense and that it's something that will be applicable to all of our lives. So let's close out in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your patience and your peace. We thank you as you continue to show us as men and women of God how to become stronger and strengthened in our walk, to emulate Christ, to emulate you, to emulate the Holy Spirit, so that we can take those things which you've given to us and put in us and transfer them directly down to our children. May we not be an excuse-motivated people anymore, God. May we not let circumstances and trials and tribulations become the reason why we behave or move a certain way. Only the love of God may be the justification for how we behave and how we move forward. Continue to let this word rest in our heart, let our soil be fertile, and let it return 100-fold what was put out. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope to hear you speak with you all again next week. Have an awesome week. Bye, guys.